Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, once again we come unto your presence, under the presence of the guardian angels around us, to protect us. Oh, if we only could see beyond the veil what goes on in each one of our lives, in the lives of the church, what our God is truly doing for each and every one of us now, for this universe, for the other worlds. Oh, Lord God, strengthen us in thy word daily so that we truly have that feeling and that trust in Lord Jesus Christ in his second coming. And yes, he is coming again to collect his people because he is the light of the world. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you could turn to there, chapter 9 of John, chapter 9. And it's talking about Jesus healing the blind man. But last time I was up here, I talked about the Jesus being the fountain of living water. That was in chapter 7 of John. And there were they in 7:2, and it talked about the Feast of Tabernacles that was there, and where they stayed in booths or tents during that 7-day festival. There was another lesson also to be learned there, and at this time that here that they're talking about in chapter 7, Jesus talked to the Jewish people the next day about it, that the happiness that he thought to make clear what the feast was fulfilled in him. And one pleasing characteristic of it, the occasion in the days of the Savior, was the way that the temple was illuminated. It wasn't just illuminated in the holy place by the seven candlestick, but it was illuminated with lights that were burning and were in that sacred house. And Christ was able to say to them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And we know that today the darkness is in the world, but if we are the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not in darkness. So we play that. Before the feast was over, Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man to demonstrate that he was the light of the world. And it was, as we look at this chapter 9 here, that starts out there very very. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Yes, this man, born blind, never able to see. What his age was, we don't know, or what it was, but his whole life there was there. We know that Jesus accomplished many great miracles and things when he came into this world. Yet his primary purpose was to dispel the spiritual darkness that was in the world, even at that time. It shrouded that light that came from him. And there are three great truths that we can look here and see in 9 verses 1 through 11 that reveal Jesus as the light of the world. Number one, we look at the misery of the sightless man, his blindness there in verse 1. According to Scripture, this man was born blind. To most of us, I believe that we think of blindness being one of the worst horrible physical handicaps that a person can have. And we know that there are many people that are born blind into this world. But yet this man had lived his whole life in a state of darkness. But he was never to see a sunset, never to face a child, or even face a loved one to dare. But there is a blindness that there is for those worse than sightless eyes can have. It is far worse to be in a spiritual darkness than that there is in the entire world apart from Jesus, as we find today that we are. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that. To have that great hope that we have received Jesus as our Savior, and that we are not in the deep spiritual darkness that the world is if we truly believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. We look at the man's birth, verses 2 and 3. Scripture seems to indicate that not only was a man blind, but he was also in poverty. Many would say that this man would have been better off if he had never been born. However, Jesus felt otherwise. He told the disciples that God allowed this man's handicap so that man could glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, glorify God through his miracle and through his life. And what a wonderful truth it is to glorify God even today through our lives. We pray that we are doing that. We need to realize that God can take any life, no matter what, regardless of how that life has been buried in sin, and each one of our lives have been, and save it by his grace. He's there working for us, then turn it into a thing of endless beauty and joy. After all, our purpose is to fellowship and glorify our God. Isaiah 43:7. And are we glorifying Jesus? Are we glorifying God in our lives today? Jesus specialized in saving the old wasted lives. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They can be in each one of our lives. And then we look at the man's begging there in verse 8. Because of his blindness, he was unable to find employment. And so that resulted in his begging for food and for money. And how sad that there are even people out here that have to do that today. This man was not rich, but it appeared that his parents were not even interested in his well-being, as if you would read verses 20 through 22. This is a picture of absolute poverty, that Jesus endured spiritual and physical poverty so that we might enjoy God's glorious spiritual blessings that he gives to each and every one of his children. All the blessings he gives to all, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, whether you're foolish or wise, God pours out his blessings upon all. Then let's look at the ministry of Jesus. The man was exposed to the light. When Jesus came along, this man's life was changed forever. First, Jesus healed him of his physical handicap. And when the man went to the Pool of Siloam and washed his eyes, his blindness was taken from him. Notice that when the people asked him what had happened, he never mentioned the spittle there in verse 11. As we see that in verse 11. He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay, didn't tell him how, and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the Pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went out and washed, and I received light." What faith to have for that man, blind all these years, but yet to be able to accept the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time and to obey, to have the obedience and the trust in him to go to the pool and do that. And we'll see that. But he hadn't seen what God had done. That's why he was not able to talk about the spittle. That this man was blind. But there's a lesson here for each and every one of us also. There are times that God is working in our lives and we may not know it. I would probably say in my life most of the time, I don't know that God is working there. He's trying to bring us to him, you know. Often we cannot see the Lord's work that he's trying to accomplish with each one of us. But even knowing that we are saved, we may never realize all the little thing that God has done in our lives so that we may come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can look at the progression of the man here that went through as a light began to dawn in his life. sees a man who is called Jesus. Verses 10 through 12. We look there. 10 through 12. But I'd already read 11 there, but just the other there. Therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes open? Then he answers there. And at 12, then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. When the people asked this man who will heal him, all he knew that it was a man named Jesus. And there's a many of people at that time in Christ's life there here upon earth that it was the same thing. They only knew about a man, Jesus. And even today, they believe that there was a good man named Jesus at that time. But truly, he was not the Son of God. Could have been a thousand other person that could have done that. But all he knew, it was a man named Jesus. He says that he is a prophet, verses 13 through 17. The Pharisees talked to him. When the Pharisees heard the miracle of the blind man, they were no longer blind to them. They tried to figure out what had happened. Some of them were even upset that Jesus performed the miracle on the Sabbath, which was a no-no. They concluded that if he had done something on the Sabbath that they considered to be work, he must be a sinner. Here they are, just because Christ healed on the Sabbath, to them, to the Pharisees and to the leaders, he was a sinner. They quizzed a man who had been blind and said that Jesus was a prophet. In other words, he is a man to be listened to. This man had listened to Jesus just once. And that obedience came and turned with his healing. That's what obedience to our God can do. Just once is all as it takes. You know that Jesus was worthy of being listened to. And how well are we listening today? Are our eyes and ears open? Are we listening to the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit whispering in our ears? Are we listening to that small voice of God speaking to each and every one of us? And he is also, he is a man of God, verses 18 through 33. As the Pharisees continue to question this man through a series of questions from the Pharisees and some, you know, they're pretty good preaching on his part, who had been blind, the man concluded that Jesus was a man to be followed and even asked the Pharisees if they wanted to follow him. Here he is already preaching to them for someone to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, verses 30 through 4. 38, if we turn to there. 34 through 38. And the answer said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And here Jesus finally comes to the man personally once again. He revealed his true identity to him. Verse 37 there. And then the man confessed that he was the Son of God, that he was glorified and gloriously saved by this man. This man progressed into seeing, being able to see Jesus as one among many, but one to be listened to or one to be followed. We pray that we will listen to the calling of our hearts, calling of the Holy Spirit to follow our Lord Jesus Christ all the way to there. I just speaking to one of the gentlemen that his wife's on dialysis Thursday, and they was speaking there about the Christians being massacred over there at the time, and if they asked him if they were a Christian, then they would kill him. He said that he would tell them that he was a Muslim. That whether we were over there, we would do that or not. But many were killed, so they must have kept their faith because their lives were taken. And we know that one day maybe our lives will be taken if we stand up for the truth. But if we are grounded in the Word of God, we know that we can survive through everything and be with our God one day. He saw Jesus who he truly was. And how do we see Jesus today? Here this man was expelled by the leaders. That word in verse 34. When this man was refused to bow down to the pressures from the religious leaders, they cast him out. Just like Christ was taken out of the city when he was taken to Calvary's cross. He was excited about his new life. Verse 25. Pray that we all are. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The new life that he had. He couldn't explain what happened. Many of us can't explain what happens to us in our lives when we give our hearts to him. We may not know that precise moment that we are reborn. But he saw what Jesus had done in his life. And he was more than a little excited. But then we look at the miraculous, supernatural miracle that happened there. Jesus is a shining light. Verse 5. When Jesus walked upon this earth, he was in the business of delivering man from darkness. He's still doing that thing today, delivering man from darkness. He is still shining light, a Savior for all who will come to him. Matthew 11:28 and Revelation 22:11. Jesus is a seeking light in verse 35. After this man had been cast out by the Jews, Jesus went looking for him. And that is why Lord Jesus Christ has come. If you look at Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus is a saving light. Verse 38. When this man bowed and received Jesus, we can sure he forgot all about his life of blindness, the pain that he had even received from being put out of the synagogue. But when he called upon the name of Jesus, he was received to a family that he will never be rejected from. And we can have this same opportunity today. And in closing, when that man had gotten up in the morning, he never expected what was going to happen. To be healed and saved that same day. He probably planned on doing the same thing that he had done day after day after day, all of his past life, having that darkness, even having that blackness and darkness that he had. He didn't know there was a man among men like Jesus would never keep that darkness there, that would drive that darkness from his life and from our lives today. But there are many in that same spiritual condition today that are in darkness, that are in need of the marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity, each and every one, to be the representative to bring that light to these people that are in darkness. But they don't even realize that they can have Jesus. They don't even realize what they're going to face, what is coming upon this earth. So we just pray that we know that. And the question is, which do you and I prefer? Do we prefer darkness or do we prefer light? come to Jesus and step into the life, into his light of glorious salvation. And we will be able to see our Jesus, even picture him in our minds, even before one day when we will see him face to face. Yes, our gracious God, thank you that Jesus is our light, that our Jesus is the light of the world. And one day we will see him face to face. Oh, to be able to look at our Jesus and to see our God. To look at the face of Jesus. And to know who God is. Help us these days, Father, as we go about our business, to understand that we do not have to live in the darkness of the world. If we choose that pathway that is lighted all the way, only when we stumble and fall, or fall off on the way, does it become dim. But if we keep eyes upon the top of the ladder, where their Lord is standing with outstretched arms, waiting to receive each and every one of his children, we know with surety that we are on the right pathway. So, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit continue to be with us this week to guide us and direct us to the pathway that leads to the eternal kingdom of our Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.